Okay. I have to, against the Messiah, to start so early. Okay. We have here two shmuzim. They are not connected, though they might have some similarity in the same type of fetish, I would say. They're both not your conventional shmuzim. They don't really deal with kayachatsiers and stories. But I think there are two very big kedushim in both of them. The first Rashi, there's a halach in the Torah that you're not supposed to walk up the Mizbeach with, you're not supposed to have steps by the Mizbeach, so Rashi says, second Rashi, there's steps, you have to spread your feet. Even though it doesn't show your erva to the steps, he has pants, so when he spreads his feet, still the steps don't see the erva because the kohen is wearing some kind of pants. It's still karev, and therefore it's not polite. So it's considered bizayin. I do not understand this. Obviously, our sensitivity isn't so fine. Why this is minig bizayin? But let's go further. In other words, somehow walking on steps, stretching your feet, is kara of the gede erva, and it's some kind of some slight minig mizayin to the steps of the mizbeach, if there would have been steps. Ve'advarim kavachaymer u'ma'avarim haladu she'em bahem das v'hakvin al bizyayinim. These rocks do not have das to be makvin on their bizyayinim. Omra tayra, says the tayra, ho v'yeshem tzarech, since they have a need, well, tinik behem minik bizayin. You shouldn't act in it a minik bizayin. Chavrecha, your friend, shubidmus yaitra, umakbir al bizayin, achas kama vikama. So, just what simple pshat? We're making a kava chaymer. The avonim, they're not, don't have das, achakbir al bizayin. Kava chaymer, your friend who has das, to makbir al bizayin. But what do you mean? But by the avonim, we don't say there's an ister by every avonim. It's only here because ho v'yeshem tzarech. So who says chavrita tzarech? So I assume that's where he adds in here chavrita shubitmus yaitrach. In other words, if you have a chavrita shubitmus yaitrach, that's equivalent, or maybe even a kavan chaymer, of a tzarech. A tzarech means a thing has chashivas. So the person, the stones have chashivas because yeshem tzarech. So if the stones which have chashivas because yeshem tzarech, we're not supposed to be minik b'zayin, even though they don't have das to be makbid. So chavrit chashiv b'dmus yitzrach, which is created in the tzalm elokim, which is not just a Jew, even a goy, say the tzalm elokim lechayra. So it's a kal v'chaymer because he's makbid al b'zayin. So it seemed to me here an amazing chiddush. First of all, Pashat Pshat would mean that there's an inyan in not being mezasa even goyim. Okay, but a much bigger chiddush is that, and it would also seemingly, I would say, even that there were talking about hechara here, bizayin, because the amount of bizayin that we said by the rocks, we don't even understand. So we're talking here about a very small bizayin. So it's also a chiddush. They have to be makan at such a small bizayin. But l'chayra, I would say like this. If we're making a kal v'chaymer from the rocks, that they're not makbid al bizayino, kal v'chaymer to a person who is makbid al bizayino, then l'chayra, what if you had a person who's not makbid al bizayino? So you don't have a kal v'chaymer. But the chayre would still be the same halacha. It would still be usher. You don't have a kal v'chaymer. We see from the racks a certain yisayin. It's a kal v'chaymer to a person who's makbid al bizyayinu. What if you have a person who's not makbid al bizyayinu? And you have a guy, you know, he's a class clown. He enjoys it when people make fun of him, right? He tells people, you ask him, what's my, I want everyone to call me the moron, right? I enjoy that. That's his shtick. He's not machmen on his bizyino. Right? So we go with the approach, listen, why can't you insult somebody? You can't insult someone because you're hurting his feelings, because it hurts him. That's what we always think. But you see that that's not true. Because by the Avonim don't get hurt. The Avonim are not machmen al bizyinim. Yet the Torah says there's an Isser by the Avonim. We make a Kal V'chomer when you're machmen al bizyinim. But that doesn't mean that you need it. That's only for the Kal V'chomer. So what you learn from here, a chiddush in conception, that the Isser to be mevazah someone is not because you're hurting the person. That's added. But there's an intrinsic Isser in intrinsically being mevazah someone. Someone that has chashivas, whether it's a rock that has chashivas because you need it, or a person who has a tzom and alkim, even if he doesn't care, he doesn't know, he's totally unaware, there's an intrinsic Isser, wrong being mevazah him. That's what we learn from here. It's a new understanding of the Isser mevazah. The Isser mevazah is not because you're hurting him. He doesn't have to know. What if he doesn't know? What if, you know, typical case, a guy, I get angry at a person, so when I'm talking to him, I'm talking to my boss, and, you know, I'm very friendly to my boss, yes sir, yes sir, and the moment he turns, walks out, I stick out my tongue at him. I got him, you know. He doesn't know. No one knows. I just said it myself. I have a picture of my boss in my room and I throw darts at him, you know. Yeah, he doesn't know. What's the difference? Guy doesn't know. It doesn't make a difference. The Isser, it seems from here, it's not for him. It's like, in a sense, it's for you. You're not allowed to be mevazah to someone. It's not that the rocks care. The Isser, you, the din and the gavra, and the how could you go ahead and be mevazah to someone who you're taking a dover chashuv, and you're somebody created b'tzom and okim, and you're being mevaza in your eyes. It's not because he's makbid. He doesn't care. He doesn't know. He's a rock. We're mevaza the English teacher, and there's someone else with, because you use Hebrew, and he doesn't know. He doesn't know that we're playing this chick on him. That's fine. That's the rationale you always hear. He doesn't know. The janitor doesn't know. I don't know. You know, they don't know what we know with this. You know, they don't understand. So it's mutter. It comes out from here a havana, a new havana in the Isser, that the part, I don't say it's the only part, there's another part that's just a kal v'chomer, but there's an intrinsic part that it's a din in the person who's doing the bizui. It's wrong for a person to be mevazah something that's chashuv. It doesn't make a difference if the thing that's being mevazah knows about it, cares about it, has feelings, makes absolutely no difference. Okay. That's what I think you see from this Rashi, which I think is a new understanding in the Isser of Bizui. I think also in the next Rabag there's a new understanding in another Isser. It's also, I say in that sense, it's similar. Very hard to understand the Chiddush. I have to admit that it's hard to understand that if it is true, it's definitely something which I cannot even claim to practice myself, but we're learning it as a intellectual schmooze, and hopefully we will try and abide it to some extent. There's a pasuk here that Hashem tells Moshe to go and tell Klal Yisrael not to go up to Har Sinai. So Moshe tells Hashem it's not necessary because I already told them. So Hashem tells him, tell him again, because it's always better. So the Rabbah wants to know, what's Moshe arguing with Hashem? Hashem tells you to do it, you do it. So Ein Roi Adam Lasos Poel Hahedov Apatala. It's wrong for a person to do an action which is stam wasteful. Halotira, we see Kimosh Rabbeinu Hayakosh Rabbeinu. It bothered him Lahazir Yisrael to tell Bnei Yisrael Shlo Yehartzu Ahar that they shouldn't go up to Har Sinai. Liros Apal Bishas Yibur Hashem Yisrael Hashem told him to do it. Why? Because he felt there's no purpose. Until Hashem explained to him why it's important. Now, there's in general a problem with this whole inyan, which is not just here, which I'm not ready to get into. What does it mean that the Moshe asked kashas on Hashem? You know, obviously Hashem's right and you're wrong, so what are you asking a kashas? Reshiva has a shmooze on it where the Reshiva explained that it's a din in the person that even though obviously I know Hashem's right, but a person has to understand why, you know, to do something which you think is wrong, even though you have amunah sachamim that it's right, is like bad for your midos or something. So if Moshe Rabbeinu felt it's wrong, even though he has amunah sachamim, so to speak, I know that right word, that Hashem is right, and if we have, I have a machlekes with Hashem, I think it's worthless. Obviously, Hashem who told me to do it doesn't think it's worthless. But if I think it's worthless, it's bad for my midos to do it. And therefore it's kedai for me to clarify, especially if I have the ability to clarify. Maybe if I can't ask Hashem, you do it anyway. But if I have the ability to clarify, I should try and clarify, because it's not good for me to do something which is worthless. Okay. So he said like this, ain't right to do something which is worthless, hevel or batala, because here Moshe didn't want to do it, even though Hashem told him. So it doesn't make seemingly any sense. Okay. Granted, we're forgetting about this. Since Hashem told him, obviously Hashem's right, because you have to understand it in your seichel. Abed Amaisa, even if theoretically, Lu Yitzur, you're right and Hashem's wrong. But if Hashem wants you to tells you to do it, so then it's not a waste. Hashem tells you to do it. Hashem gave you a mitzvah to do it. What if Hashem would tell you, I know there's no purpose, but I want you to do this anyway. I'm telling you to do it. Go stand right and spit wood and nickel. Right? That's what I'm telling you to do. So that's called you doing a poel of hevel batoa. How is it hevel batoa? I'm doing what Hashem told me to do. It's inherently a contradiction, mineyu bei. Then Moshe didn't want to do it, because it's hevel batoa, even though Hashem told him to do it. If Hashem tells you to do it, it's not hevel batoa. You're doing, how could you call doing something which Hashem tells you to do hevel batoa? I think, is a very strong question. The whole thing doesn't make sense. By death, granted you don't understand Hashem, and let's even assume you're allowed for your own psychology to work with the assumption Hashem's wrong even, which is not true, but even if it's true that Hashem would be wrong, it's still not hevel batoa. By definition, if Hashem tells you to do something, it's not hevel batoa. You know, if your father tells you to do something and you realize that he's making a mistake and there's no reason to be done, but he wants it done, so it's not hevel batoa. How can the whole... It doesn't make sense to Rabbah, because he's saying that Moshe didn't want to do it because he didn't want to do something which is po hevel batoa. So what it seems to me is that there's a tremendous chiddush here, is that obviously, you know, if he wouldn't have asked Hashem, he would have done it anyway. And obviously there's a tremendous value to doing what Hashem tells you to do. But there's still a hargosha in Moshe Rabbeinu that I don't just want to do something because Hashem told me to do it. I want to do something which has intrinsic value. Now there's a desire that obviously, I want to do what Hashem says too. But I want to do both. I want to do what Hashem says, and I don't want my life in a certain sense, right? If Hashem would tell me to go spit wood and nickels, Moshe would not be happy, because that's missing. It's missing a certain degree of meaning in my life. I want my life. There's a regish in the person that my life should have meaning, not just because Hashem told me to do it, and not just because I'm going to get $1 million, because I'm going to get a tremendous reward. Because Hashem, obviously, I do the mitzvah, I get the reward. I did. But there's an intrinsic meaning in what I'm doing. I think it's easier to understand if we apply it in the Chazal. We have the concept that, for example, we have a concept that you can't learn all day long, right? The trapper was here, right? Can't learn all day. That guy has to take breaks. Okay. So in the good old days, with a break, a guy goes out, plays ball. Right? Plays ball. He's accomplishing something. Not learning. He's physical health. The guy takes a walk. He's accomplishing something. There's a healthy, it's fresh air, whatever. A guy schmoozes with his friends. So it could be, you can say, he's accomplishing something. He's cementing a relationship. Right? Now, yeah, the guy takes a break, and the good old American way of taking breaks. What does he do? Sits and watches television, sits and watches a movie, he plays a computer game, he plays with his phone, whatever, and does little, you know. Basically, he took a break. At the end of the break, he accomplished nothing. Right? He just killed time. It's different than if I would have gone for a walk, or I would have talked to someone. I took a break, and I just killed the time away. I just wasted an hour. So, even if we're right, you need a break. But there should be a regesh, which I admit, I'm also missing it. A regesh that I don't want to kill time. Okay, I need a break, but there's one thing a break, but there's another thing to kill time. Now, that's what it seems here. Moshe Rabbeinu, he can't stand the fact that he's wasting time. It's the right thing to do because Hashem tells you to do it. If Hashem tells you to do it, you got to do it. So it's the right thing to do. It's like the doctor tells you, you got to take a break. You got to break from learning. Okay? It's the right thing to do. But how can I, if Hashem, granted Hashem told me to do it, and granted I got to do it, but I'm wasting my time. It's Hevel Batoah. Okay, I know I have to do it. I know it's the right thing to do. Rabbi Trapper said I got to take a break. But Hevel Batoah, just wasting time away. There's a certain regish that it's something wrong with that. Right? In other words, we're trying to say here that, because this is the problem. The problem is that it's not wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu had to do it. But it's the right thing to do, and Hashem wants you to do it. But there's a dimension, even with doing what's right, if it adds in it a dimension of Po'o, Hevo, Batoa, it bothers Moshe. And Moshe needs to get explained. Hashem, explain to me that this is not Hevo, Batoa. Because if I do something, even if I'm doing it as a mitzvah, but I feel I'm doing Hevo, Batoa, it hurts me, it bothers me. So surely, we're supposed to have a hargasha. It's something which I think we're very far removed from because of the whole American society. I don't know, maybe all societies is like this, but surely today's, with all our recreation are so much hevo batoa. There has to be a hargasha that we have that hevo batoa is not enjoyable. You go ahead and to spend so much time just killing time, we should have a feeling that it's not Roy. I don't like it. I don't want it. Okay, if I have to take a break, I have to do something. If it's the right thing to battle, that's one thing. But there's intrinsically another problem of Hevel Batoah. In other words, saying that this, in a sense, why I say it's similar to the first shmooze, it's not that similar at all, but it's a new the Havana in the Isser Batoah. That it's not just the Isser Batoah is Usser because of the result that you're not learning or you're not doing a mitzvah or you're not doing the Ratzon Hashem. There's an intrinsic psul in Batoah, just like we said there's an intrinsic psul in being mevaza someone. It's not just the result that he gets hurt. Intrinsically, there's something wrong. So likewise, there's intrinsically to say, to battle, to kill time, that intrinsically is something which a person should dislike.